Curtis Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from the
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight.
Pretty.
Don't know what's going on here. Can't hear anything going on in this studio. Hopefully everybody can hear me out there.
Would you like to come over and sit in my little
area? No, it's okay.
Because you're the most important person here.
Flack. What is this crap, huh? It's the 50,000 powerful watts of sound. We're the most powerful talk radio station in the nation. And I sound like I'm talking into a Medaglia d'Oro coffee can. What is this? What is this? What? Hey, Mangaluch, what are you there for if you're the board operator? You're making me sound like I got some kind of a frog in my throat.
There is some smack talking going on behind that glass.
You think they would
glass.
Have this? Listen to this. You think they would have this figured out?
I can hear everything
before
fine.
The show even
I'm
starts.
I'm fine.
Oh, no.
Well, come on
no.
over here. Let's switch because you are the VIP here. I am merely a freelancer.
I'm going to pimp slap this guy.
Oh,
I'm telling you. My blood pressure is already high. But let's get back on topic here because we had Dean Martin, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, with Juliet Huddy in the house.
Hi, everyone. I'm in a much better mood than apparently Mr. Sliwa is today.
Oh, no, I'm in a very foul mood. You know,
it was probably all those Twizzlers that you were eating yesterday.
No.
You ate an entire bag. I saw the entire bag.
Yeah.
It was done.
Yeah.
And not just the little baby bag, but the full-on commercial bag.
Licorice. I needed that.
Yeah.
It actually,
just less than a week.
It settled my stomach because before that it was growling, it was grumbling. And that's right. Let's hear the clock as we're ticking down towards the operation. It's 5 days away.
Do you hear it? Are you all right?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
We're back on track.
Okay.
I don't hear pigeons in my headphones.
I think there was a knob that you didn't turn on.
How the hell am I listening to pigeons in my headphones, right? Are they on the top of Madison Square Garden? But anyway, the point being is, as we are high above it all, people running around downstairs wondering, gee, am I going to have to go to Home Depot, get shovels, salt? Oh, it's going to snow,
sometimes they say it's just going to be a couple inches. That's just going to turn to wet snow. And then it turns out to be Armageddon, Blizzageddon, blizzard stock.
What was that?
Blizzageddon. Blizzard start.
Did you just make that up?
No, I do that. Like you make up words like apoplectic instead of apoplectic.
That's right.
Testosterone instead of testosterone.
I can get away with it because I have my own language. It's
you
called
do.
Sliwanics.
I know.
I botulize, I mangle the English language.
I listen to it every day.
With spoonerisms and malaprops and heavy adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I am able to get away with it. Like the old Dr. Irwin Corey did, or Noam Cosby, who they used to mangle the English language, and they had a great career while doing it.
Well, my thing is that I take two words and I merge them together as one, and that becomes my thing. You'll hear that.
Also, it's like they piggyback, they caboose.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also take words that are not supposed to be, like when you say, now I'm trying to think, but if you take a word and you make it plural, and say inappropriately and incorrectly, I put two I's on the end of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So if there's a bunch of Curtis is running around, it's a bunch of Curti.
That's
running
right.
Around. Yeah.
So,
and sometimes the word sounds really strange.
Roman. Very Roman of you, I might add.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, I do like Italy.
Anyway, we are high atop Madison Square Garden and pumping out the 50,000 powerful watts of sound.
How you feeling? Today's Friday. You're going to be off on the weekend, and then next week it's
courtesy of NJDiet.com. Now, how am I feeling? Not good. I came in and
surgery
I was keeling.
Time.
So I could fade out in any moment. And then you, Juliet Huddy, will have to take us the rest of the way. But I think I can man up. I think I can handle this. Hey, look, if people in southern Texas are struggling with snow now, mm-hmm. we're going to have snow tomorrow. And you, that's right, I'm thinking of your origin, not when you were down in Miami playing Little Shirley Temple at the airport, welcoming your mom and dad back from a trip to Havana, Cuba, but rather when you were out in the ungodly place known as Oxnard, California.
The Nard.
Well, you do not want to go on the other side of the tracks because all you got is gangbangers of 18th Street, the Mexican gang, and then you've got the white privileged on the other side of the tracks. Did I have it right with Oxnard?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you lived by the water, you know, by the ocean, you tended to have more money than you did, literally, if you were on the other side of the railroad
tracks. So do you have any empathy, any sympathy for all those people who are being burned out now right near Ventura County, which is right
all over? Yeah, right. I mean, all of it. But when I was out there, I worked at a TV station there. We covered the fires. There were always fires, but this is pretty bad. I mean, there are a lot of houses being burned up and down the coast, down in San Diego now. The horses are all, a bunch of thoroughbreds were burnt. It's horrible.
It's a gargantuan situation. Some attributing it, naturally, to global warming, climate change. Others are just saying, hey.
It's the drought.
It's the drought. But then again, that's what Southern California is, a desert. I don't think people seem to understand that.
Yeah. True.
Men and women have plowed through the fields of Southern California like the Israelis have and turned what was a desert into, at times, what looks like a
tropical paradise.
Right, a tropical paradise. But still, the underlying fact is it's a desert,
mm-hmm.
and it has these fires. And now, as more development has taken place, well, clearly these fires are going to start wiping out those developments.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been around an area that's been burning for weeks and weeks and weeks, even just days, but it permeates the air, and you literally have a headache after 2 or 3 days of this. You just have a constant headache. It's really a miserable situation to be in. I mean, much like, you know, a hurricane coming through Puerto Rico. I mean, it's just for days and days and days you're dealing with the effects.
I think the difference is having survived a hurricane and having been in proximity to a major forest fire. Is that with a forest fire, you're always told by officials, pack a bag, get ready to go at a moment's notice. Because if the winds change, you could be consumed.
I was covering it for a fire for Fox News when I was out there as a correspondent. And we were on a cliff, a hill, and there was a fire burning on the other side of this gully. And winds started to shift, and all of a sudden we heard pop, 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 and the bushes by us just started igniting, and we were by a satellite truck. I mean, you know, it takes a while to put those things down. You have to put the mask on.
Sure.
I mean, we were just out of there by the skin of our teeth, and the whole entire plateau was on fire. I mean, it could have been ugly.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, interesting, Juliet Huddy, is that I was anticipating that you, because of your background, would be leading the charge tomorrow as part of the Drunken Rowdy Red-Suited Drinkathon, better known as SantaCon 2017.
What do you mean it's my background? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you've been known as a party girl. Diva
this
girl,
is true.
Juliet Huddy, you've
this
been known
true.
As a party girl.
I'm not, well, kind of, you have to clarify that.
Well,
I mean, I definitely was, you know, I was a lot more fun when I was much younger.
You've been known to like to put the bag on and imbibe a little bit.
I like, you know, my cocktails, yes. But, you know, as you grow older, you have to sort of calm things down. But I did always fancy myself a party girl when I was younger. Nothing like these people, though, these SantaCon people. They start out at 9 o'clock in the morning or maybe even earlier. And they're out all day long and they're dressed in their little outfits and the girls. And this is like people in their, you know, early 20s, mid-20s, they're usually the ones, the biggest group out there. But you'll see the 40 and 50-year-olds, you know, they're out there too. And the girls are wearing the little mini skirts and the little elf outfits. And it's a
yeah, but you know what
show.
You know who hates it since they flood into Manhattan. Oh, I certainly do. But it's confusing to the kids because they see Santa Clauses everywhere.
And throwing up Santa Clauses.
Right.
And Santa Clauses who are Santa Clai. Who are on drugs.
Right.
You know, their eyes are all pinned and they're all yammering like magpies.
And they're fighting.
Oh,
and
it's horrific.
They're pulling out their manhood and urinating right out in the street. So you imagine the kids, you're all confused.
They're
and
like, Mommy, why is Santa, you know, laying around in a gutter?
Right.
Rolling around in his own vomit.
Why is Santa trying to choke out the other Santa? And then the other thing
Honey,
is...
Honey, those aren't real Santas.
Most
Don't worry.
Of the Santas you see, if they're not fat, they pretend to be fat by stuffing themselves, you know, with pillows. But these Santas, a lot of them look slim and trim. So, again, it's quite confusing to the kids. But this goes on into the wee hours of the morning as they go trawling from pub to pub, bar to bar, gin mill to gin mill.
Yeah.
And they just keep drinking and getting drunker and drunker and drunker. And I want to ask you as an expert, somebody who has imbibed.
You haven't? Please.
Yes, I have.
Okay. But well, then let's not direct it at me.
Right, not to the extent that you have.
Okay.
You have transcended different time periods of your life. But explain to me, from drinking just straight wine or drinking some of the other hard liquors, what are the sort of responses that you see that come from people? You know, are they doing what your brother claimed they wouldn't be doing today, like in the Intifada there in Israel, throwing rocks at the Israeli Defense Forces? I mean, what have you seen become of the behavior when people start drinking different forms of liquor?
Well, first of all, the whole theory that, you know, if you drink liquor, it's going to get you drunker than if you have a glass of, you know, if you drink wine. It's just not the case. Alcohol is alcohol. The amount of ethanol, you know, the ethanol in the alcohol is what gets you really drunk. But different types of alcohol or alcoholic drinks have different levels of liquor. And that's the problem. So if you're like, no, I got really wasted on tequila. Oh, my God, I act like a psychopath. I go screaming at people. I beat people up. It's just because you're probably thinking that you can drink more tequila than you actually should be drinking.
See, I would think with wine, you just go to sleep. You get some Z's. You find
because
a place
of the different things in it. Yeah,
it's sort of like having turkey, you know, with the tryptophan. It makes you almost want to venture off into slumberland.
So you're suggesting that people tomorrow in the SantaCon world throughout the city, they should be drinking wine. They should drink liquor.
That's the problem. They mix drinks. They'll drink whatever is being served up. So wine, beer,
just remember,
liquors.
Beer than liquor gets sick quicker.
Beer
than liquor gets sick quicker. Liquor than beer, you're in the clear.
Ah.
So unless maybe, you have you so know, maybe vats of it,
maybe
you're not.
Maybe that's the reason that so often I see the Santa Claus is during SantaCon just vomiting.
Sandy.
Projectile vomiting on my head.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You know, they get out early. And if the bars aren't open till 9, they're starting at their houses and their little flop houses boozing at 6 a.m. I mean, this is a big thing. They're looking forward to it. And many of them probably had been up until, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the morning anyway the night before, tonight.
What is the remedy? What's the best remedies for the hangovers that they're all going to have when they get hammered?
I don't know. I'll ask you. What's the best remedy? Whenever I've had a hangover, I'm miserable. I'm done. Nothing can help me.
You don't take anything?
I mean, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to move. I don't want to move my head.
Hangover, I would take a raw egg. I'd take a raw egg in a cup and then put some hot coffee in it and then down it.
Oh.
And it seemed to work for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you actually, you're suggesting that to people, that that's what they should try? Well, you never know. Pedialyte, I heard, is great. People swear by it. You drink the little Pedialyte stuff, and supposedly it helps you out.
And then there are others who would say, puff, puff, fast, just smoke a joint, and all of a sudden that'll level you out.
Hey, you know.
Anyway.
Whatever works for you.
First of all, I'd like to see if anyone in our audience is actually going to be participated in this drunken, rowdy SantaCon extravaganza tomorrow. And also, what the best remedy for these nutnicks would be when they get hammered and they have these extended hangovers that will probably take them right into Monday when it's time to go back to work. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Juliet Huddy in the house. And yesterday we got a phenomenal response to the picture that Justin B. Love, our producer, took of me suited down.
Suited up, baby.
Yeah, put
we're
it
looking
up,
smoking.
On the Facebook page, Curtis Sliwa at WABC, and we got probably over 150 responses. We'll go through some of them momentarily, but apparently we've got somebody on the line from the East Village, Michael, who's been a part of SantaCon for quite some time.
Oh.
Is that correct, Michael?
Yes, hello.
Hello. So, Michael, first of all, the most important question, how old are you?
I'm 46. I'll be 47 in a couple
months. Okay, so we're comrades in age. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so you were just mentioning on remedies for, you know, long day and night drinking, you know. It's all about the pre-preparation.
Okay, so in what way?
Well, you got to have a full belly.
That's true.
You know, you have a full belly before you start But first, Irish coffee in the morning.
That's,
now, Michael, okay. Is that why when I'm making the rounds on a Saturday night, like in Greenwich Village, I see all the hipsters, millennials, lined up in front of cheap pizza shops, just dogging down the pizza to fill up their stomach, mm-hmm. to sop up the liquor they're going to drink all night?
By that time, it's almost too late, you know?
Hmm.
It, you know, what happens is you got to start the morning with the eggs, the bacon, the ham, with the Irish coffee, so you start yourself off there. And for me, I pace myself through the day, but that's not an excuse for what you see flying out there right now at all. The answer for the hangover, though, is you got to remember this before you go to sleep at night. My trick, and I'm a bartender also in the city.
Oh, okay, so you are an expert.
I am an expert, yes.
Okay.
Here it is. You got to take 2 Bayer aspirin.
Yep.
Right before you go to sleep with 2 pints of coconut water.
Okay. Now, why the coconut water? Because people say Pedialyte or, you know, a Gatorade because they have the electrolytes.
The same thing, but the coconut water just works for me. And it's the hangover from when I was 28 years old.
All right, good to know.
Naturally, because there is a shortage of coconuts in the world market, the price of coconut water.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah. It's
like
quadrupled. Quadrupled.
Oh.
He probably has some stock in coconut water, I'll bet you.
Anyway,
let's go to Lisa. Lisa in Chi-Town, Chicago. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC.
Lisa. Chicago?
No, beautiful Chicago.
Oh.
Hey, love the internet radio. Juliet, you are, well, you are the best.
Oh, God. I was scared where that was going.
I got to maintain my mouth and say that you were, can I say the word screwed?
Oh, yeah, you can totally say that. You can completely say that. I'll say it. I was. You're right.
Yeah, you were. I love you, girl.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. It's very nice.
I was an RN for 40 years. Tells you my age. I am not a drinker anymore because my old bones can't handle it.
I feel you.
Vitamin B12.
Vitamin B12.
But see, the problem is that when JFK was running for president against Richard Nixon, he said he was getting vitamin B12 shots, you know, to give him more energy for that mad dash towards the end of the election, when it turned out it was actually amphetamines.
All right, vitamin B12, amphetamines, you know, comme ça. Well, vitamin B12, though, that would be...
By the way, Lisa said you got screwed. Does this mean you always order screwdrivers whenever you're at the gin mill?
I will tell you, the first time I ever, got drunk, it was a screwdriver because I thought, oh, there's no way. It's orange juice. It's going to be fine.
Right.
I was sorely mistaken.
Knock your socks off.
Knocked my socks off. And I was a late bloomer when it came to drinking. So that was, it was in college. It was not fun. Lisa, thank you, Lisa, by the way, for the very nice compliments. And if you run into... one of my best friends, Renee Poppy, she lives out in Chicago.
Oh,
please tell her I said
Poppy
hello.
Chulo, huh?
Poppy Chulo.
But anyway, we have some reactions to why it is for the first time in 26 years of talk radio broadcasting, I came in and did the program suited down.
Okay, what are some of the reactions here?
A guy, William Lango, says he was auditioning for a role in a future Martin Scorsese film.
Oh, that actually very creative, very clever.
Carl Mambo King Casanova said, Curtis, which mobster did you steal the suit from?
Okay.
Then John
mobster
Ryan.
Theme going on here.
John Ryan said, I'll start calling him Don Curtis.
Wow. I mean, they might be onto something here.
Hal Ginsberg says, I hear McDonald's is looking for management trainees in the Bronx.
I've been there, done that.
Sherry says, clearly a court or a lawyer visit.
Yeah, because, you know, it's just you.
Doreen Doe says, I almost didn't recognize you. Then Sam Foster says, fess up, Curtis. You're planning to run for political office. That's why you're suited down.
Now, what? But who would he have been fighting with? Because there was an antagonistic relationship with whoever he was in this meeting with. That's the question.
Well,
who would have been there?
You're always fighting with somebody.
Well, there.
Then Billy Wachters writes, the defendant will rise and face the jury. That's happened many times for me. Robert Toby says, getting buried or marrying some Italian floozy.
Oh, no. He loves Nancy Regula.
Ben Raposa says, going to court for child support issues. George Kansar says one of his exes taking him in front of the judge. When I get paid, you'll get paid.
Has anybody gotten it yet?
Lisa Scotty.
Okay,
writes,
I guess that's a no.
Going
yes.
to the chapel, and he's going to be married. And then finally, actually, there are two more. Alex Turco says, looks like he's in his funeral suit. And then Michael McFarland says, he's finally taking his vows for the priesthood. That sure ain't happening.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
So you all are going to have to be able to figure out what it was, because it's hush, hush, mush, mush. I'm taking the code of Omerta.
You won't tell us ever?
Eventually.
Well, how long do we have to wait, though? This is, I mean...
After I return from the surgery.
We've got, okay. All
and right. if I don't okay. return, I take the secret to my grave.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
All right, you know you like this song. Pink Cars. Yes,
and
thumbs up, thumbs
Juliet
down.
I would say in a range from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, it's about a 7.
Okay, all right, well, that's better than halfway. Okay, so we're good. All right, we're good. I actually drove my car in today because I'm heading up to New Haven, Connecticut tonight to see a... concert.
Oh.
Hatebreed.
New Haven.
Great brand.
Hatebreed.
Yes, we played them here before. Maybe we can play them later on.
Sounds
the show.
Like a motorcycle gang.
No, they're not. They're actually a fantastic band. But so I drove in. No problems. I might have some issues tonight or tomorrow with the snow, apparently, that's coming in. Hopefully not. But apparently, some people who are in the New Jersey area, when you get off the GW Bridge, you know, which is always a nightmare, complete disaster area, and there's always so much traffic there. Sometimes people, when they get off the bridge or even when they're going on the bridge, they try to take the local roads, you know, some little local towns. Leonia is one of those towns.
Sure.
Like Fort Lee.
Well, see, the problem in Fort Lee is if you decide to disembark from the major thoroughfares,
yeah.
and you get stuck in Fort Lee,
mm-hmm.
you go round and round and round and can't make right turns. It's
yeah.
like you're like in an endless cycle of well, going round and round.
Well,
like,
the thing is, you have to be a local and you have to know. I mean, when I was over in Hoboken, I figured things out over there. So I was just, I would shoot right into the city. It was fantastic.
Well, see, the problem in Hoboken is they always had water main breaks. So
not
you have,
always.
You would
they
have
them
to,
a few
you
times.
You would have to take a barge in order to get anywhere through the streets.
I know. You just take your little floaties and float down Washington Street.
Oh,
no,
and there'll be a lot of SantiCon going on in those gin mills in Hoboken tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I think they do that.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they had a huge St. Patrick's Day parade there. I mean, the St. Patrick's Day fiesta there.
I think
they kind of toned that one down.
They canceled that.
Yeah. I think they canceled it the year after I went.
Yeah, that
figures
because of what you caused.
No, I went later on in the day. But anyway, so there's a little town, Leonia, and apparently the city officials there are so sick of all of these apps, you know, like Waze and Google Maps, directing people when they get off of the George Washington Bridge or when they're going onto the bridge, you know, directing them through their little town of Leonia,
yeah.
that they've decided to basically block off the streets only to local residents during certain hours, I guess during rush hour, which I don't really understand.
Hold on a second. You mean to tell me the town of Leonia,
mm-hmm.
and there are other towns there, you know, yeah. there's Englewood Cliffs, there's Teaneck, you just keep going on and on.
Yeah.
That they have opted to block their local streets during the rush hours, AM drive and PM drive, the peak hours.
Yeah.
And you must be a local resident.
Yes.
Just to transverse.
Yes. Yeah, so this is happening January 15th.
Like un-American.
This is crazy. It's January 15th. The town of Leonia will close off the access to the local streets during the morning and afternoon rush hours. So, and basically you have to have a tag on your vehicle giving you access to closed streets. So I guess you have to be a resident. I don't understand. So if you have somebody that's coming to visit you from, you know, Roslyn, New York, and they come over there, what's going to happen when they try to get onto your street?
Well, to
me, turned away?
That seems like, wait a second. is this an attempt to revenue raise? Because obviously, if you don't have the sticker that says, I am a local resident of Leonia, and you get caught by the local cops, who obviously work under a quota, as all cops do, they're going to be bagging and tagging people and writing these tickets and raising revenue.
Yeah, yes. Fines for violators will be increased. Residents will have the tags on the vehicles, though, giving them access. But again, if you have, you know, Aunt Susie coming in from out of town, she better show up after rush hour or very early in the morning or midday, because she will get a violation if she tries to make it over to your home. That's crazy.
Let's find out from folks out there if they feel this is copacetic, like this is the thing that Leonia should be able to do.
Well, Police Chief Tom Rowe is the guy who's talking about this. I'm curious as to what he has to say about, you know, family members, friends. To me, that just, I don't get it.
I mean, this is almost, not quite, almost the equivalent of when Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, remember, years ago,
bring it on, baby,
lane closures
there you
through
go.
His surrogates. And boy, did that cause him grief later on in his failed presidential run.
Yep.
But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, should Leonia be able to close off their local streets to all of you during the rush hours, a.m., p.m., because they don't want people coming off or entering onto the George Washington Bridge looking to cut through their town?
You know, this is, I think this is legal, because I believe that I have driven through a town. I want to say it might be Virginia, actually, that does this, where you, I can't remember exactly where it is. Maybe, I don't know where it is. But well, anyway, but I know that I've driven through a town where they block the streets.
I'd love to find out from our many listeners out there. Many live right there in Bergen County. And maybe can somehow explain this. 1-800.
Is that Bergen or is it Hudson? I guess it's Bergen.
No, that's Bergen.
Look at you. Man, you even know your
name.
Well,
George Washington Bridge, Bergen. You want Hudson County, Holland Tunnel, right? Come on, get your tunnel straight.
Well, so wait, where does Hudson County start, though, along the water? Is Edgewater Hudson County?
Well, Edgewater is Little Japan.
Okay, well, okay. South
of...
That's not the county.
Yeah, but south of the rising sun of Edgewater, where you can get your sushi and sashimi.
You start
moving right into Hudson County, the most corrupt county in America.
Very true. I lived there for many, many years, and I do know this.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to John, who's calling from North Bergen.
Hey, John.
Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Johnny?
Yeah, that's not, you know, maybe officially Leonia's doing that, but Fort Lee and Tom Park have done that all the time. If you're coming up Route 46 and it's really busy, they're going to cut off the side streets for you to get off. They're not going to permit you to get off at 46. They're going to make you stay on 46 because they don't want all the congestion on the local road. So it's nothing new.
Yeah, but it sounds like what you would have to incorporate is almost a gated town, private town, what you would have to do. How do you just indiscriminately determine at certain hours you're going to let people through, other hours you won't?
Well, it's not what my point is. I don't know why they do it or how they do it or why they're allowed to do it, but Leonia is not the only town that's doing it. It's been done for years.
I know. And
I'm on the Googles right now trying to look
this up. We're trying to figure out is the legal precedent for this, John. I'm not doubting you, but I'm thinking here in New York City, we have some of these private communities right within the city, like Seagate and Coney Island, where you can't drive through. Jamaica Estate, where Trump grew up. Breezy Point. You know, where they are like Checkpoint Charlies.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
And you cannot enter those communities unless you have a patch.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea. No.
Yeah,
wait, where are these places?
It's a location right there in the shadow of the Throgs Neck Bridge in the Bronx.
The Throggy.
Silver Beach, I think it is.
Silver Beach, yeah. Is that little beach, the little area where all the houses are really, really small and they're...
It's what we used to call, when we were growing up, we'd look at that as we came off the bridge and we said, oh, that's where the shanty Irish live. Not the lace Irish, the shanty Irish and the shacks. But they like it that way because they have Checkpoint Charlie's and you cannot go in there unless a rail goes up and permits you to go.
Okay, because I drove into an area that little hood. Maybe it's not the specific place that you're talking about. And we were getting glared at by everybody. It was clear that we were the outsiders there.
They were mad dogs.
Kind of like, why are these people coming in here?
Let's go to Carol's calling from North Bergen also. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Carol?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, hi. My comment is I pay registration to the state of New Jersey. I have license tags on my car, so that entitles me to drive on the streets in New Jersey or wherever else because I'm registered.
I agree with you. So you're saying that you don't think that if you went up to this police officer who's standing there in Leonia and he says, look, you don't have the Leonia tag on your car. You're out of here, lady. You're going to say, no, 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 no. Not only am I paying your salary, but I'm also paying to drive on the street.
Well, you know, I wouldn't go so far as say paying a salary, but I would say, yes, I'm entitled to drive on the street. I pay registration every year. I have to renew it. My car's legal. I should be able to drive on streets in New Jersey.
Yeah.
After I register.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember a while back, and I'm trying to specify, it'll probably come in Essex County. They were towns immediately around Newark that wanted to put impediments in the road to block people from driving in from Newark because they felt they were coming in just basically to scam them or to do home invasions.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden that went through a lot of legal challenges in the courts, and that eventually was discontinued.
Mm.
But I remember there were communities that blocked off their roads in order so that you couldn't drive in from Newark. Anyway, let's go to Steve, who's calling from Smithtown. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I'm reading an article dated March 9th, 2016, and it's about the police chief, Thomas Rowe, was talking about how this is a problem. So obviously they've been trying to work on it since back in 2016, at the very least.
Let's go to Steve calling from Smithtown. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Steve. Stevie.
Hey, good afternoon. I really enjoy you guys' show. I'm really excellent. So just aside from being having the pain of being a Giants fan.
Sorry.
And aside from the pain of just getting out of the parking lot after a game.
Yes.
Leonia also blocks off the streets after Giant games. So if you're trying to cut through, trying to get back to the GW Bridge and trying to avoid some traffic, you can't. They have it all blocked off.
Interesting.
And I know. I was shocked.
Huh.
I've been going to Giant games for years, and I haven't usually taken that route, but I have on occasion.
How do they get away with doing that?
I'm telling you, they have. It's amazing.
Well, you see, because
I don't know how much they're spending on the police and putting up barricades and everything. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's incredible. I know it's challenged in Essex County, and I believe it was either Bloomfield or Maplewood that had put up these impediments right in the street to prevent you from driving in from Newark because mm-hmm. it's right next to Newark and Essex. And then it went through a lot of legal mishigash, and I think they had to take those impediments down.
No, wait, why were they blocking people from coming in?
They didn't want people coming in from Newark because they thought they were going to do home invasions and steal their cars.
Wow. Say, if there's anybody out there from Leonia who's listening to this, so I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, because the police chief was saying that they're, you know, people start driving in there. They're not the local residents, so they really don't care about the town, so they're driving a lot faster.
Cool.
They're driving recklessly.
Well, if you happen to be from Maplewood or Bloomfield right outside of Newark, and if you remember what I'm talking about when they blocked the streets there so that people could not drive in directly into their communities from Newark, 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of one, 5 days until they gut me out with their scalpels at Columbia Presbyterian and try to root out my colitis, iliitis, and Crohn's disease. That'll
are you
be
saying
next Wednesday.
You are the godfather of New York City.
No.
And you will not go down without a fight.
No, that's
or
not
a horse
why we're playing
bed.
The song. As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com, Juliet Huddy. When I watched the frumpy lard-ass Al Franken resign before his Senate colleagues yesterday,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me, because of the way this unraveled, the circumstances, I was thinking back to Godfather 2, classic movie, in which, remember, there was that piece there with Frankie Five Eyes Angels.
I don't remember it. I saw it once.
Frankie Five Eyes, he's testifying against Michael Corleone before the Senate Commission, says Michael personally killed Captain McCluskey and Virgil Salazio.
Mm-hmm.
And so that meant double trouble for Michael. So Michael dispatched his peacetime consigliere, Tom Hagen. And Tom had a meeting with him as he was being detained.
Yep.
And he said, hey, Frankie Five Angels.
Hey, you know, Frankie Five Angels.
There's an old Roman tradition. You got to do the right thing, which is basically commit suicide. And if you remember, the next film that you saw was of Frankie Five Angels, all of a sudden having slit his wrists while taking a bath. And so when
that was Godfather 3?
2.
Oh, that was... But that the slitting of the wrists?
Yes, Godfather 2.
Okay.
But when I saw Al Franken giving his resignation speech, I said, right the day before, he had met in the apartment of the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, the minority leader of the Democrats in the Senate, in which they worked out the details.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, his family, him. And it reminded me that, in a sense, he was like Frankie Five Angels, because what Al Franken was doing was killing his own career. He's dying up there while an actually indicted felon, Menendez, the capo de tutti of all crooked U.S. senators, is going to, it was sitting down in the well with a big dumb grin on his face.
Oh, all right. That's where it went. Okay. I like the way
you like
think,
the analogy,
Curtis.
Right?
Clever.
But anyway,
clever.
Let's go to the audio tape. This was Al Franken, who was killing his own career yesterday before Senate colleagues.
A couple months ago, I felt that we had entered an important moment in the history of this country. We were finally beginning to listen to women about the ways in which men's actions affect them. Then the conversation turned to me. Some of the allegations against me are simply not true. Others I remember very differently. I know there's been a very different picture of me painted over the last few weeks, but I know who I really am.
So basically he's saying that he didn't do it, but he's resigning.
So this is one of those situations where it's like when people say, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but, you know, I am going to take it the wrong way, because that's why the butt is there. Or, I'm sorry, but you're not sorry because there's a but. I mean, it's the same thing. This really wasn't an apology. This was a defense and a blame game.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, Juliette Huddy, he said the reason he resigned wasn't because of him, but rather for the people of Minnesota.
In the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate. This decision is not about me. It's about the people of Minnesota.
And then he said, don't worry about Al Franken. I'll be fine. He might as well told everyone that, the schmuck de putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, had said, we'll take care of your family. Just like Tom Hagen said to Frankie Five Angels, don't worry, we'll take care of your siblings.
This has been a tough few weeks for me, but I am a very, very lucky man. I have a beautiful, healthy family that I love, and that loves me very much. I'm going to be just fine.
I'm sure you will.
I have compassion for his family. I really do. I do have. That's a terrible position for these people to be in.
But meantime, he decided, as he was going out stage left, he'd take a few shots at Judge Roy Moore and at the president.
I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office, and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls' campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party.
And the president will be in Pensacola, Florida tonight, just 25 miles from the border of Alabama. And basically, it's going to be a rally for Judge Roy Moore. Why he didn't do it in Alabama, I don't
understand.
Because
it's very close. Pensacola is like, I mean, Justin's familiar with that area, right? How far away is that? If you're going to drive to Pensacola, how long would it take you?
Only about 25 miles.
That's it?
Yeah.
from the southern border, it's only about 25 miles.
And plus, you get your news from
that's true. Yeah, the
Alabama news outlets in Mobile.
Yep, that's
so
true.
I don't understand. You're doing
Pensacola,
a rally
Mobile, that's right.
for Judge Roy Moore in Pensacola because you don't want to appear to be in Alabama. That
but why
makes
not
no
though?
Sense
I don't know.
Me.
You know the thing about Al Franken though. Really quickly though, he said one of the things I found funny was that he said that you know he knows in his heart that he hasn't done anything wrong as a senator. He's done nothing to bring dishonor on this institution, which is laughable to me because you know this institution, the bar hasn't exactly been set very high, you know, as far as dishonor. But did you hear this? He actually wrote a book back in I think it was like. late 90s or something. Maybe, no, 2001. He wrote a book and he talked about, it was basically about a guy that used to be a writer for Saturday Night Live that ended up becoming president and dishonoring the presidency and getting in trouble for sexual harassment and all this stuff. I mean, this is a book that Al Franken wrote.
He actually
had a speech in the book that was almost mirrored this speech that he made yesterday. It's unbelievable. I read this on the Daily Beast. I love the internet.
Maybe he took the speech right out of the book. Anyway,
listen, I'm not kidding you.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But his accusers were upset. He said he showed no contrition, didn't acknowledge what he had done wrong. One of them appeared on TV and said the following.
And what did you think as you watched his resignation announcement yesterday?
Well, I thought that he said to listen to women, and then he talked about himself.
That's true.
It wasn't an apology. It was very defiant. He wanted to talk about the pain that he was going through, which is obvious, but not the pain that he's inflicted. So, I thought that was inappropriate to do that from the Senate floor, quite candidly.
Well, you shouldn't have been surprised that the egomaniacal U.S. senators always just talk about themselves rather than talk about the people they've done harm to.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a case in Abscam. The one U.S. senator was taken down was the U.S. senator in New Jersey. His name escapes me momentarily. He was a lush.
There, shocker.
He came before his colleagues and he blamed his greed in Abscam on the fact that he was a lush, that he was drunk, he was an alcoholic, and he begged for mercy. But it was all about him. Not that he had done anything wrong. It was all about him. So our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Now, this is also what this woman had to say in response to Franken's resignation.
Not only that, I mean, basically, he said something that I hadn't heard before. He said that his apology, because he had apologized previously, at least to Leanne Tweeden, the one who has the picture of him on the USO tour, that the apology gave the false impression, he said, that he was admitting to things that he hadn't done.
Right. He was answering the president in that moment, which was he was talking to the president. He said that it was ironic that someone like Roy Moore and Donald Trump are still in good standing. That's not irony. That's one party being better on women than the other party.
Yeah. It's interesting. That was actually Allison Camerota, who used to be a Fox News anchor, doing the questioning there on CNN, but also Poppy Harlow, who's been in the news over the last couple of days. You know that, you remember that Al Franken and Gretchen Carlson, also a former anchor at Fox News, Fox and Friends, they were teamed up as recently as just a couple of months ago to try to be involved, you know, get involved in this Arbitration Fairness Act that would basically get rid of the mandatory arbitration clauses in contracts, you know, like employment contracts. And Gretchen Carlson and Al Franken doing this because they believe that that could eliminate some sexual harassment issues. Now Gretchen Carlson's not ruling out the concept that she may run for office in Minnesota, which I think is very interesting. But how funny is it that she was tied up with Al Franken?
Minnesota.
And now she could be running for office in Al Franken's home state.
And then another person vying for that U.S. Senate seat that he will be resigning from is Norm Coleman, who is a cousin of Sid Rosenberg.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the former mayor of St. Paul. Remember, he ran against Jesse the Body Ventura and lost that gubernatorial run.
Really?
Yeah, it was Humphrey III, who I think was the attorney general of Minnesota. It was Norm Coleman, who was the Republican, who was the mayor of St. Paul, and was Jesse the Body Ventura, three-way race, and Jesse
won. How interesting. So what's Sid saying about this?
Well, he wants his cousin in.
Heck yeah.
You know, his fellow landsman.
All right, I'm behind that.
Anyway, let's go to Paul, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Paulie.
Hello.
Now, Juliet,
If you want to see Godfather 2, it's on every 5 minutes on AMC.
I know. I'm so, like, men are so interesting with the whole movie thing. I swear to God, you see a movie once, you can quote half the lines in it. You've seen a movie 60 times and it comes on and you still continue to watch it. I don't get it. It's bizarre. I know the Blues Brothers, every single word, and that's it. And Grease, of course.
But. Well, I'm glad you talk about the Blues Brothers, because one of the things when I heard Franken do his speech,
mm-hmm.
he used to go on Saturday Night Live as a news commentator, and he'd say the whole world revolved around him. And he'd say, oh, everything's revolving around me, Al Franken. So every time that he's turned around and said, now the conversation is coming back to me, Al Franken, I kept on laughing because it sounded like something out of Saturday Night Live. Now, based on what Curtis has said, I believe that Al Franken will be back, because they'll say to him, look, you know, the stuff that he did was when he was a comedian on Saturday Night Live, and they're all nuts over there, especially his generation of Saturday Night Live. They're all dope takers. They all snorted coke or whatever. It's known. Like, for example, if John Belushi, God bless, was still alive and decided to run for Senate, he'd probably get elected regardless of what he did during the days of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I remember you're absolutely right. Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, after they would film Saturday Night Live, they'd get into their stretch limo, and they'd go down to the Alphabet Jungle, Avenues A, B, C, also by C, and they would score their drugs there. And back then, they were smoking bass.
What is that?
Bass head. Bass head is what the comedian Richard Pryor was into when he blew himself up.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Know, just freebasing cocaine.
Yeah, and it was hardcore down there back in those days.
Big hardcore.
Can I just tell you real quick, Why Not Me? That's the book that Al Franken wrote in 1999, actually. And can I just read you just a little what he wrote in the book? This is a speech that he's giving as a character in this book who was a Saturday Night Live writer who became president. Quote, let me say here and now that I regret very deeply the harm that I've done both to people I care about and people I don't really care about at all that much. Okay. I am sorry. I apologize. It was wrong. What I did was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry. Boy, am I sorry. I mean, for doing things to women, I don't know. The whole thing is just bizarre. It almost seems like, is this a joke? Is this something going to come out and say?
That is definitely bizarre. Let's go to
weird.
Rex from Stamford. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Rex.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Just a quick comment. I'm not sure, but Al Franken keeps saying, quote, I didn't do this as a senator, but like your previous caller said, does that mean, well, yeah, but you did it before, you were groping and things, and now he's just trying to say, I didn't do these things as a senator. Does that ring true at all?
Well, some of them he did as a sitting senator, groping women. In fact, the last allegation that put him over the edge was a staff member of his who said that she had been groped by him and kissed unwantingly by him. So he can't have it that way. He can't say, hey, it was just in my wild and crazy times as a comedian, you know, coming out of Saturday
Curtis,
Night Live.
Here's the thing, though.
Right.
So many men and women are saying, look, I have a friend. I personally have a friend, former colleague, who used to come into the studio and say a word that was a very sexualized word. And everybody would crack up. And this guy has a great personality. He was just one of these guys that just everybody got along with. You never felt creeped out by him. I mean, he almost made a joke of his creepiness.
Right.
And I'm concerned that somebody down the road is somehow going to come back and go at him. But then I think a lot of the things that women are saying about other men are getting them in trouble, and a lot of these things are similar. And I think that's the concern that men have. My God, what have I said in the past that's going to come back and haunt me? What have I done in the past?
I don't think it's so much what you say. It's what you do to act upon what you say. And so far, everyone who's been bagged and tagged took some kind of physical action, including Bush 41, the groper of all gropers. Hey, come here, I want to tell you a little joke. And then, grab your tuchus. Hey! Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. To the phones we go. Juliet Huddy in the house. And it's Liz from the Bronx. Welcome to WABC, Liz.
Hi, thank you. I just want to say before the break, you were talking about how the sexual harassment is not looking at men's words towards women, and that's incorrect because sexual harassment can take many forms.
Well, Liz, I was saying that there are some people who whose certain words they don't feel as though they're words that are they're threatening to women. They didn't think so back then, but they do now.
About your friend who is looking back, like, oh no, like what? And men are thinking about what did I say? But then Curtis said, well, I don't think it's the words that they're using. It's more when they're physical. But it's, I disagree. It's,
let me give you an example, Liz. Women will refer to a guy or guys as a bastard. You know, he's a real bastard. And then guys may refer to women as the C word. Now, if it doesn't go any further than that, if it's just a pejorative remark, I don't think you could put it at the level of what we're talking about when we talk about Judge Roy Moore, the president, Al Franken, John Conyers. And obviously, I don't think you should necessarily lose your job for that. What you should do is obviously you just have to sit down and you have to go through like a boot camp.
All right. Well, Liz, how about this? So if you're working with somebody, if somebody's your boss, let's say Curtis is my boss and he keeps referring to me as sweetie. Hey, honey. Hey, sweetie. Hey, like that personally, that grates on my nerves, but I call everybody sweetie myself. So where do
I agree? I've been working on that all my career too. And I think we're in a very crazy time right now, hypersensitive, I think it's necessary because it's probably the only time that this attention is ever going to make a change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't think Al Franken's allegations are anywhere near in the same boat as Trump or Roy Moore. I don't think they're equal.
Liz, I think
you have to sacrifice him.
Right. You can't quantify it that way in saying, okay, the pedophile, Judge Moore, the perv, the president, and then the tookus grabber, Franken. I think you all have to, basically say they're all wrong and you guys got to go. And in reality, it's a natural form of term limits. Since we can't get these guys out of office anyway, once they get elected in, they're there. 97% of them incumbents always get reelected. It's a sort of mother's nature's way of having term limits to get these guys out. Like we're going to talk about up next, the guy in Arizona, the congressman, who resigned in advance of what he knew would be a tsunami of criticism because he approached two female staff members and said, hey, would you be willing to be a surrogate for me and my wife because we haven't been able to bring a child into the world?
And a lot of people are saying, well, is that really that bad? But well, is there more is the question.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to that. But there's so much more we're going to get into, including the president doing a Judge Roy Moore rally tonight in Pensacola, 25 miles from the state of Alabama. Why didn't he just go into Mobile nearby and just do it there?
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Explain this to me, Juliet Huddy.
Yes, Curtis.
The president has thrown his full weight and support around the candidacy of Judge Roy Moore to become the next U.S. Senator in his race that'll be determined Tuesday against the Democratic challenger, Jones.
Okay, but you don't need me to explain why he's doing that.
No.
Okay.
But
sure.
Why they wouldn't join Judge Moore on the campaign trail in Alabama, meaning the president, and instead has chosen a different venue 25 miles away in Pensacola, in which he's basically going to run a rally for Judge Roy Moore. I'm scratching my head and say, look, you're doing that because Mobile, Alabama covers all the news for that area. Why not just have gone in Alabama? What's the big deal? Supporting the guy lock, stock, and barrel.
But what's the big deal of staying just 25 miles away if it's all kind of considered the same area? Because I know when I was a young Cub reporter, Mobile, Pensacola was the same television market, like you said. So it's kind of like, oh, it's just the same thing. So why would it be a big deal if he stayed in Pensacola? Maybe there are more hotels available.
Makes no sense to me. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC, or maybe because you want to fantasize that you're Top Gun. That's right.
Exactly.
1-800-848-9222. By the way, remember the adversary of Tom Cruise in Top Gun?
Val Kilmer?
No, it was someone else, I think.
Snowman, was it?
trying to remember. But anyway, he has claimed that as he was climbing the ladder as a young male star in Hollywood, teenage star, he was preyed upon.
Who? Wait, Val
by
Kilmer.
By powerful men. No,
Val
not
Kilmer
Val
was.
Kilmer.
He was Iceman.
No, it wasn't Val Kilmer. It was someone else. Make yourself useful, Justin B. Love.
Justin B. Love, come on.
See if you can source that out, you know, from Top Gun. Anyways, one of the major figures there.
By the way, when that movie came out, I was in high school. And may I just say, what a wonderful scene the volleyball scene was. That's all I have to say.
Wait a second. That's
the volleyball scene.
That was very sexual.
Well, I mean, it was just men playing volleyball with their,
their
shirts
that.
Off.
But to me, it looked very gayish.
To me, it did not look that way, no.
Well, for Tom Cruise, it probably did. 1-800-848.
Ladies, are you with me on that one?
WABC.
And gents. I mean, there are some gents out there probably.
Now, wherever Gloria Allred goes, trouble soon follows. The woman.
Why would you say that, Curtis?
Cannot do anything without stirring things up and creating doubt about what she's doing and what her strategy is. For instance, in the case where she's representing one of the accusers of Judge Roy Moore, mm-hmm. Beverly Young Nelson. Remember, and I know it's hard to keep count. That's the young lady who said that she was working at the time as a waitress at the Old Hickory restaurant. The one that Judge Moore now claims he has no recollection of.
Even though the town was like, you know, one stoplight and 20 people.
Well, and not only that, that was the local hangout. But anyway, it was a night in question in which her boyfriend had not arrived on time. And Judge Roy Moore offered to take her home. Said, look, I'll take you home.
And she is how old at the time?
16.
And he is how old at the time?
He's in his 30s.
Okay, because that's completely normal.
Assistant DA. And then instead of taking her home, he drives her to the back of the restaurant, the Old Hickory, and attempts to maul her, you know, sexually. She says, no, 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 pushes him off. It doesn't go any further. He then just apparently drove her home, or I don't know where he dropped her off. But that sort of triggered her to come forward, in addition to the other women, all of them unrelated, to make these accusations against Judge Moore.
Right.
Now, recently, she brought forward a yearbook in which there was a signature in there.
And Gloria Allred behind this.
Right. And Gloria Allred refuses to give up the book, the yearbook for signatory, people who authenticate signatures, to be able to verify that it is Judge Roy Moore's.
Which to me is a very strange move by Gloria Allred, because if you have something and you start talking about it, you're going to have to show it, and you've got to know before you talk about it that it's legit.
Well, now this woman, Beverly Young Nelson, says she had Roy Moore sign her yearbook, but she added some notes underneath.
Beverly, he signed your yearbook.
He did sign it.
And you made some notes underneath.
Yes.
She made some notes underneath.
Okay, why is that the shot? Why would he be signing some girl's yearbook that he tried to, she says, maul in the parking
lot? All right, but remember,
it's just,
the Judge Roy Moore supporters are saying it's a fake signature, it's not his.
I know, but I'm just saying, well, why would a 34-year-old man be signing a yearbook anyway? That's, I mean, it's not a teacher or anything. That's, to me, that just strikes me as completely odd. But okay, so maybe he did.
Right. I'm in agreement with you on that. But why would she have made notes underneath? Because remember, the signature is in question.
Okay,
the authenticity of whether it was Judge Roy Moore. Gloria Allred will not release the yearbook so that people who are professionals can authenticate the signature, which would say yay or nay.
Right, exactly.
In terms of this accuser.
So this woman writes, I guess, whenever she did this, she writes some stuff next to it, apparently a date next to his yearbook post.
But why would you need to write a date
if the yearbook
is already dated?
That's my question.
The whole point.
That's why I'm a little skeptical of this whole situation now.
And apparently they're having a press conference to clarify this, which, you know, Gloria Allred will only compound it. 1-800-848-WABC. But Beverly Young Nelson then got on the defensive and said, wait a second, it's not just me. It's about the parties involved here.
Is the party more important, really, than what happened? I feel like my incident is being just swept under the rug, literally, because he's a Republican.
Well, it's not. I mean, we're talking about it here in New York, so it's not being swept under the rug. But, you know, the fact is that the loyalists are still sticking with him precisely because of what she just said, because of the party.
Well, I have a feeling it's really the emergence of Gloria Allred. She's muddied the waters by refusing to give up the yearbook for someone to authenticate that signature. And now
but
that her
she
client...
She can be very crafty, though. Maybe there's something to this.
That's going
to
help Judge Roy Moore with Alabama voters, because she's not a very likable person by anybody.
Maybe she's waiting until the 11th hour, and then she's going to sic it on them. And
that's what she said she was going to do versus Trump when he was running for president against Hillary, and that obviously never happened. But Beverly Young Nelson is her client, and she's saying that she made some notes underneath. Anyway, let's go to the phones. First up in the queue is Dave, who's calling from Comac. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Curtis. We met on the subway many years ago when I was en route to Roosevelt Island.
Do you think I remember that?
You can't forget me, because I remember you.
Psych. I'm sorry. I don't.
In any event, I heard about the comment about this girl in the yearbook. And what I think is that she probably allegedly wrote the remarks afterwards, and she's basically liar, liar, her pants are on fire, and that's why she doesn't want to present the yearbook for inspection.
That's the way it's looking.
She might have told Gloria Allred, look at this, that here's my proof, and Gloria Allred runs with it, and then all of a sudden, you know, a little more conversation happens, and Gloria Allred realizes maybe this isn't necessarily legit. I mean, and so now she's kind of between a rock and a hard place, because you're trying to trust your client. I mean, you're sort of forced to believe your client.
Is it the client, or is it Gloria Allred spinning this?
Well, that's the big question. I mean, Gloria Allred is known for being very clever and very cunning.
Well, look, so, you know, the acorn.
She is where she is.
The acorn didn't fall far from the tree. Her daughter, Lisa Bloom, also represents a lot of women who she has as clients who have been sexually harassed. And yet she was the first to want to represent Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
He had taken her book and was going to turn it into a film script.
I have to tell you that. I mean, that completely delegitimized her in my eyes. That was just.
But if you notice, she's still out there representing.
Well, she's actually representing the ex-boyfriend of one of the O'Reilly accusers.
Right. So the point is that certainly
back in spotlight.
Hasn't hurt her. Even though she was representing the perv of all pervs, with 100 women now making accusations against him. And then think of this with Harvey Weinstein. The Manhattan DA, Cyrus Whitehews Vance, who wouldn't prosecute him the first time because he had been bought off by Harvey Weinstein's lawyers
contributions. He and everybody else, apparently.
There are three women that have claimed within Manhattan, New York County, Harvey Weinstein raped them.
Mm-hmm.
They've yet to prosecute him. And Cyrus Whiteshoes Vance is coming up with every excuse in the world. Yet he's meeting with the defense attorneys for Harvey Weinstein. Now, how is it these defense attorneys have access to the Manhattan DA's
That's
office?
That's sick. That is sick. I mean, this is, if you don't believe that Harvey Weinstein is an absolute deplorable, despicable human being and a rapist, among other things, a predator, you know... I don't know. I mean,
he's a Hazurai. He's a pig. Anyway,
study up your current events a little
more. Let's go to Gary calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's up? All you got to do is test the ink. You'll know what year it came from.
Yep.
By the way, what's the difference between a Gloria Steinem and a Gloria Allred? And matter of fact, man, if Shoeless Joe Jackson had the DA from around here, man, he would have been still playing baseball, man. And Juliet, you're one hot chick.
Oh, you know, Gary, thank you.
Great. Yeah, this is crazy what's going on, man. I mean, just, you know, it's a two-way street, this stuff with sexual harassment, man. When I go to work every day, I got like 500 women chasing me down the block. I don't mind, you know, most of them are hot-looking chicks.
Oh, Gary. Quit while you're ahead, Gary. We were big supporters until that last comment.
Oh,
I'm
so
just kidding.
So when he was snacking on you, it was okay, right?
Totally.
You didn't find that to be
He wasn't
harassment.
Snacking. I thought it was a compliment.
He said you were a hot-looking chick.
Hey, well, whatever. It didn't bother me.
So he didn't cross the line then?
I don't think so, but I have a high tolerance.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Up next, we're going to talk about Trent Frank, Republican congressman from Arizona,
story.
Who has preemptively resigned but with the strangest story imaginable, if you can believe him. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Lewa.
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels, was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
I feel like this is the version. This is the, is this not the jazzy version? The jingle bells. Curtis, I know how much you love Frank Sinatra, but
I despise, I loathe, I hate Sinatra.
I'm not a big Sinatra fan either, but this version, I don't know if it's not this version.
I will never forgive him for being at the Westchester Country County Playhouse.
Yeah.
With Carlo Gambino and all the Gambino wise guys paying tribute to them and just yucking it up.
Well, all right. Well, I wanted to play the jingle bells, like the scat kind of, you know, jazzy version, just because I thought maybe you'd appreciate that version, just because we could both make fun of it.
Well, remember.
But I failed you, and I'm sorry.
Frank Sinatra and the Gambino guys were always claiming that the FBI stood for Forever Busting Italians. That was the acronym.
Well,
and guess what? Along with that.
This is breaking news on 77 WABC New York.
Hear it first on the Curtis Sliwa Show with Juliette Huddy. Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I. His governor's office is being investigated by, yes, the FBI.
Whoa.
Over its practice of hiring executive chamber officials to random agencies and public authorities. The story will be emerging in a few minutes, but you're hearing it first. You're not hearing it on WIN, CBS. You're not hearing it anywhere else. You're hearing it right here on the Curtis Sliwa Show, because when it comes to Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, or as he should be called, Little Cicero.
Little Cicero.
Yeah, Little Cicero. It was just a book written about his dad called Cicero, and so we'll call him Little Cicero. But if true, this is more problems for Andrew Cuomo, since he's got nine of his sycophants, toadies, and lackeys who are facing federal trial in February for shaking down upstate firms, basically racketeering, shakedowns, extortion.
You
of
seem
money.
Gleeful. This is just major weekend.
Yeah. Oh,
you're going to go frolicking out of here with your Swizzlers.
In
or
that
Twizzlers.
Indictment was Joe Pococo, his leg breaker, his wartime consigliere, who knows where all of Cuomo's bones are buried and who buried them. So this could push him right over the edge. I hope. And you know who's supporting this information right now?
Besides you?
Yes.
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, there's
the other Italian stallion in New York State politics, his nemesis, Comrade Bill de Blasio, who would like
Cuomo
to be iced out. Because,
yeah, he better not look a gift horse in the mouth.
All right, so just to repeat, breaking news, Cuomo's office is being investigated by the FBI over its practice of hiring executive chamber officials to random agencies and public authorities. And while we're high atop here, Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com, you're into this mistletoe thing. There are no mistletoes here in the studio, so I don't have to swap spit with you.
Well, you don't have to do anything if you see a mistletoe. It's merely for people who actually know each other and like each other and want to do a traditional Christmas maneuver.
Well, what is it?
It's not perverts. It's not a blank check for perverts.
Is it about the mistletoe that has prompted you to want to discuss it now?
Well, I was actually noticing in the beautiful Penn Station, which, once again, I like the LIRR, and I'm actually okay with Penn Station. I find it actually kind of nice and sort of a bustling metropolis of
Penn Station, the third world station below us.
I don't know. I don't mind it so much.
700,000 people pour out each
day. They
have
some really good shops there. I mean, the Starbucks there, there's one guy behind the counter at Starbucks. I love him. He's fantastic. He always wears this cool little beanie. Really good guy. And then there's the Prêt-à-Manger, or Prêt-à-Manger, as I like to say. They serve beer there, which I thought that was interesting. Tracks, the restaurant.
Julia.
Ladies, if you want to go pick up a man, that's the place to go. Let me tell you, I walked through on my way to the loo, and
it's like a
holy
third
mackerel.
World transit station down there.
I actually find it very New Yorkish.
The homeless
people,
the emotionally disturbed people roaming around.
You know, potentially get rid of that part of it.
So I don't see any mistletoe on Penn Station.
I actually noticed that they were putting things up. Now, maybe it was the outside area and they don't go inside, but they're doing this over at Grand Central Station, too. And it has caused a bit of a kerfuffle, as they like to say.
What's
the problem? People are kerfuffling. Well, I mean, in this, of course, hashtag Me Too, front of Time Magazine's Person of the Year revolutionary moment, which I applaud, some people are looking at this hanging of the mistletoe as being hung at an inopportune moment, probably not the best thing to do given the current climate. I'm not really sure what person out there really has something against a mistletoe being hung, because it's not like people are actually taking it seriously. I mean, I don't know. Some people apparently think that this is going to be a great excuse for predators and pedophiles and all sorts of perverts to just start doing their maneuvers on various women and men walking through Grand Central Station and other areas in New York City where the mistletoe has been hung. Curtis, what say you?
So is there the assumption that if you pass underneath a mistletoe, you've got to be a whirling dervish and grab the nearest female near you and swap spit with her?
Apparently, some people think that that is what this is going to be encouraging. And in a time of the anti-harassment movement, this is not something, this is not the message, according to some people, including a woman named Sandra Rappaport of the Upper West Side. She says, putting this up, you're asking for trouble. So I'm actually curious as to what people out in New York land, New Jersey land, and Connecticut land who are listening to us happen to think about this. I think it's a little strange. I think it's a bit of an overreaction.
Well, what about people who have decorated their offices and they've hung up mistletoe at key areas?
See, I think that's a little maybe weird. In an office, I don't know. In an office, I think it's a little strange. I think when you're walking through Grand Central, it's a symbol of Christmas time. It's a Christmas time tradition. But I don't think they're not encouraging you to do it. I don't think that's the point. Hanging it in a small office, if it's over a doorway, I think is a little odd. But, you know, whatever. I mean, I think people should be able to control themselves. And I think, interestingly, Curtis, you know that mistletoe, actually, the original cultural, historic, mythical reputation was very deadly. Loki, who was like a mythical Norseman, tricked the blind god Hodor into murdering Baldur with an arrow of mistletoe. So really, this could be suggesting not only you should kiss the person that you're walking near, but you should also potentially murder them.
Well, I mean,
depending on the way you take history and culture and mythology.
The way I was taught, the tradition of hanging the mistletoe was that it would dictate that a man was able to kiss any woman standing underneath that mistletoe, and that bad luck would befall any woman who refused the kiss.
Well, that actually was the intention back in the very strangely, when it came to men and women and their relationships, strange time during the late, I think that was the late 1700s, during the English aristocracy, the servants. That was a big thing for the servants to do. That's actually where the tradition started, as I understood. They would hang the mistletoe there, and that was sort of the little tradition that they have then passed down to other people.
And so then the servants would be lip-locking with one another?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it got a little boring there, because the servants would all, as if you watch Downton Abbey, you know this, they all lived together. I mean, unless they were married.
I don't watch Downton Abbey.
Well, you should, because it's fantastic.
It's such a pretentious series program.
No, it's not. You don't even know. You've never even watched it, so don't diss it.
It's PBS.
Oh, PBS is fantastic. Victoria, amazing show. Wonderful show.
Downton Abbey, are you kidding?
Downton Abbey.
I would rather impale myself than watch a bunch of pretentious Brits.
They're not pretentious. They're great actors, by the way, and they're portraying a historical time in our world history, and I think that it actually would behoove you to watch it.
Yes, sort of the English form of Bonanza, right?
Fantastic acting, actually. Fantastic acting.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Juliet Huddy in the house. Let's go to Bill first.
Lover of all things British.
From New Jersey. Welcome to WABC. Billy?
Good afternoon. And
Bill,
what you're talking about, you know, a piece of mistletoe hanging over a doorway. Things have become so distorted and misinterpreted today that you can't even show a simple sign of affection without a question mark. And, you know, I thought when I was a kid, a lifeguard down on Long Beach Island, all we cared about was beer and parties and trying to get laid. That was the big thing. Today, it seems as though, and even with the commercials, everybody's got their brains permanently implanted in their genitalia. What the hell is the obsession here? I don't get it. It's just, and I'm no stiff, but so to speak.
Pardon the pun.
Yeah, double entendre. But it's just an obsession and compulsion to sex. And
it's true. I mean, but that's our society now. That's our culture. And that's why things have run amok. You're absolutely right. But then it's like, but that's the way it is now, which is why it's becoming. Nobody knows what to do anymore. Everybody's confused.
Well, they are confused because they're all self-centered, and they want to. Talk about a feel-good society. We have peaked. We have peaked. That's all that's on most people's mind. Not everybody, but it's at the summit of the mountain.
So you would say the standards have been lowered.
Climax of the mountain.
To the point where it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, Bill?
Do you think that this is because of the pill and narcotics that have come in? And I'm a 60s guy. It was just starting after my high school graduation with weed, narcotics, and then the pill came out. And then freedom rung, and you know, the flower children ran wild out of San Francisco. New York went crazy, and it just bloomed.
I have to tell you, in my experience, I blame Britney Spears. Remember that video that came? No, I'm not kidding you. I swear, I'm completely serious.
Britney
remember that
Spears.
Baby One More Time video that came out? Now, she was like the little teenager with the little outfit and everything.
Yep.
I swear to you, when I was in high school 15 years ago, just kidding, if you wore an outfit like that, if you dressed with like really provocatively, you were looked at as a slut. Like you were made fun of, you know, you were in the slutty group and you couldn't wear something like that. Now I see little kids running around and it's like those shorts that they're wearing in school. I mean, into school, they're like, you know, their bum is hanging out and it just blows my mind. And I feel like it's all because of Britney. And I do love Britney.
Blaming
but
the loony kazoony Britney Spears.
No, leave her be. But I mean,
she
changed everything, in my opinion.
Yeah, yes.
I blame Britney.
Anyway, it's Patrick from West Milford. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Patrick.
Hey, Curtis. Did you grow up in a house where, you know, you respected your parents and, you know, just a house of respect, right? You grew up like that?
Of course.
Did you give your father a kiss when you said hello to him, when you said goodbye to him, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, your friends' parents, your in-laws? Did you, you know, it used to be a sign of respect. I don't understand what's wrong with, you know, giving someone a kiss on the cheek or even on the lips. It's a nice way to say hello when you care about them, but you don't have to shove your tongue down.
Well, yeah, let me bifurcate that. On the Polish side, there was no kissing whatsoever. I never kissed my father. He never kissed me. On the Italian side of my family, yeah, they would kiss all the time. And I would sort of like, I would be put off by that because they're constantly kissing. And I realized that if my uncles had kissed me on both sides of my cheeks, that would have meant that I would have had the mark of the Maluk, and it would have been my demise.
Got a little family, though, right?
Yeah, well, part of my family wished that I had basically deep six and was room temperature.
Oh,
so if my uncles were
going
to kiss me on both cheeks, I didn't want the Maluk, the Italian evil eye on me. Oh, no. No spit swapping for me. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
My loneliness is killing me.
And I must confess, I still. You know that Justin, wonderful, sweet little angel Justin, when he was growing up, he had a picture. He had, you know, the Britney Spears baby one more time picture, poster, hanging in his room.
Oh, you mean...
But not for the... He just liked her music. Wasn't for the reasons that you would think a boy would
the
have
picture. Britney Spears, what, when she
with
had
a little schoolgirl outfit.
Short haircut and had a baseball bat in her hand as she was hitting some guy's car in her driveway?
You know, I don't think that you should mock her for that. That was a very rough time for the young lady, and she has definitely changed her life.
Oh, yeah.
Turned
I'm sure
it around.
She has, that hillbilly. Anyway,
are you? Oh, my God. What's wrong with
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Ethan calling from Riverdale. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Ethan.
Hi, Curtis. I want to first extol your praises because you're extremely witty, articulate, and I love how you set up commercials with long stories.
Oh, thank you.
That's the first thing.
Thank you.
But more importantly, in this era of complete transparency and everybody can be a celebrity and see everything going on, while I definitely condemn, you know, bad male behavior, women in fashion and in Hollywood seem to be in an ever increasing race to show as much skin as they can when they dress up above the waist. They are, you know, completely advertising what they've done with plastic surgery. And, you know, there is some, I'm not saying they're advertising for sexual abuse, but there is some responsibility.
I hope not.
For fashion to, you know, maybe go a little bit more conservative, because it's really embarrassing how people dress today. And, you know, forget about Miley Cyrus and all that other stuff, but, you know, all the movie stars and the women in New York, they're all trying to show off as much of their chest as they possibly can.
Well, I have to tell you, when, you know, that the trend that was very hot for a while, I think it pretty much still is the very, very, very deep V, you know, so it almost like goes down to, you know, so you see kind of the sides of the breast and it goes down, you know, to basically the navel area. I actually have to tell you, I think it's beautiful. Depending on how it's worn, I think it is actually quite gorgeous and elegant. I mean, that's just my take, and I don't feel like women who are dressing that way are trying to be, you know, trying to sexualize themselves. I just think it looks elegant. Now, that's my personal opinion. But I can see why.
Honestly, I think that's very naive.
Well, okay. It's how I feel.
Completely legit. My wife says the same thing. You know, it's not trying to be provocative, but that's fine. But, you know, men in their styles don't have ways or desire ways to, you know, I guess they show off their biceps, but, you know, it's just to me, look, you know, men and women are supposed to be biologically attracted to each other, and the more that is engendered by fashion, the more bad behavior you're going to get.
So you're saying that if you, let's say you're single and you're out on the dating scene and you see a woman who is wearing a very, very sexy outfit, like the deep V thing, and she's maybe well endowed, that to you, would you take that as a turnoff? Would you think?
No. I'm not saying that. You know what? Everybody can dress the way they want, and whatever you know, their beauty and assets that they are confident in attracting people with is fine.
Right. Right.
But you know, fashion is fashion, and people are paying thousands and thousands of dollars for dresses that, you know, barely go. They can, you know, they can barely have their armpits in there.
No, I mean, I get it. I mean, you know, the skirts that are like that are basically not even, I mean, they hardly cover anything. I mean, it's like, whoa. But then again, I'm sitting here whining about Britney Spears and changing life for, you know, as we know it, wearing the little schoolgirl outfit. So what do I know?
God, what a hillbilly she is.
Oh, would you stop?
Let's go to Greg
you?
Calling from Warwick. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Greg.
Great show. You guys work together like Jack Daniels and ginger ale. Keep it up.
Tito's and Club.
Yeah, right? Here's the thing. The slutty dressing and the exposing and all that stuff is bottomed out. You can't take any more off because there's nothing left. The biggest turnoff that makes these women act, look, and remind you of being sluts is language.
Yeah.
Filthy, the F word, F bombs.
Oh,
I hate that.
We would never, it's we are so, not a match made in heaven.
Oh, it's like, why do these young girls, they can't wait to say it as loud as they can in the mall or wherever they are.
I hear what you're saying, though.
Yeah, and go to school and think and, like, maybe read a book.
Yeah.
So you have some brain cells that'll help you act and be more intelligent. Just this generation is going down the toilet.
You know, that is such a good point. I really like that point because it's true. You know, a woman can be dressed, you know, provocatively, not completely trash town, but
a lot
which
of,
the English have mastered. They can dress as bloody and hoary as possible.
Yeah, yeah, but
when they open their mouth, you melt.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that accent.
So funny. Greg, so do I.
If you walk into a coffee shop and you see these hipster women, And they've got their...
Let me puke. Hold on.
Right, right. But they're reading...
Guys.
They are reading Catcher in a Rye to Kill a
Mockingbird.
Catcher
in the Rye, too.
And they're wearing these, like, gingham dresses.
Yeah, but Curtis, the worst thing, too, forget the clothing. They're putting on makeup. It looks like two tunnels in their skull.
That's true. I can't stand the heavy makeup look.
My ex was really famous for that. I don't know how...
You know, everybody, I guess, has their thing. I mean, I draw a line at certain things, but...
Yeah, where do you draw the line?
Well, when I actually had, like, my legs were really toned and everything, I would wear short skirts and high, you know, boots or whatever. And I thought it looked really cool.
You liked showing a shadow leg.
Yeah, but I mean, it was my style. I thought it looked great. I thought it looked
pretty. Even though it would drive some guys off their rails.
Well, I mean...
You would purpose.
Sure,
you would
why
look
not?
To entice them off their
well,
rails.
Well, I mean, that's what you want to look nice when you go out. And when I dress up, I want my husband to think she looks amazing.
Ah.
Well,
Your husband doesn't mind you looking so drop-dead gorgeous that you're attracting other guys?
He's one of those guys that's like, he's proud when a guy... You know, does the double take. I mean, and believe me, so am I at this age.
So what is he saying? Hey, are you interested in a threesome? Is that what he's
please,
saying?
Oh, please. Would you stop? You're so creepy.
Just asking. But anyway,
God.
On that note.
I know. Ken Duffy's disgusted with you.
Appalling.
Save me,
appalling.
Ken.
Appalling. I'm just saying. Where does she draw the line?
Where does your mind go?
Where does she draw the line?
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
Cut my This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm, please.
What? It's that line that just bleeped out.
This is my last resort.
You like this song? You like this song? You like, this is, I can see.
It's Mente Mente Poco Poco.
Papa Roach.
Who does this?
Papa Roach.
So this is a dark, dark, somber song.
Yeah, he's miserable. He's cut my life into pieces. My last resort.
Is this sort of like goth? Is this sort of like Nemo-ish? You know, where
like
just,
Nemo.
Yeah.
What? Nemo?
Yeah, Nemo-ish. Nemo-ish.
Nemo. I don't know what that is. Emo.
Emo. Yes. But you see, Nemo is a fish,
yeah.
And we're talking
That's
about
true.
What's coming up, the Night of the Seven Fishes. And if you happen to be an Italian American and you're allergic to fish or you hate anchovies,
what do you do if that happens?
Boy, you're really in trouble.
You can't celebrate your people.
It would be like being allergic to garlic if you happen to be a Jew, a Pole, or an Italian.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that would be something similar.
Is this a big problem you're finding?
Well, actually, my father, Chester, born Polish-American in Chicago, the first of four boys, was allergic to garlic.
Oh,
and they gave
terrible.
Him garlic in his milk, in his bottle. And everything that Poles make is with garlic.
Is it really?
And he would blow up like a balloon. Everything that Polish people make, the kielbasa, the pierogi, it's based in garlic.
You're making me hungry.
And he would suffer for years. He'd be miserable for years, and they could never figure it out until eventually he went to the Maritime Hospital on the North Shore of Staten Island. When he blew up again after eating garlicky food, I think he went to Carmine's, which is all garlic all the time. And they finally said, you're allergic to garlic. Can you imagine?
He didn't know for all those years?
Didn't know for all those years. Suffered.
So oh,
was,
my goodness.
Was miserable for all
that's
those years.
That's terrible. Yeah, that's terrible.
So this is the time of year where a lot of people get really miserable. They don't seem to get all pumped up with all the Christmas music and all the Christmas trappings and the holiday songs and the gestures of goodwill. They seem to just sink into a deeper form of depression than maybe they exist in through the rest of the year.
Well, apparently this seems to be a problem all around the country and not just around Christmas time, according to a Gallup analysis. Gallup as in the famous polling company. Apparently, they did this analysis of the G20 nations, you know, so modern nations, and they're trying to find out who are the happiest and most positive nations and who are the most miserable. And guess where America comes in on the scale of happiest to most miserable?
I have to believe that this is a prejudiced survey, a prejudiced poll, because
Why?
Pre-Trump, it was probably better than post-Trump.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, well, yeah, actually, but I don't know because this is only over the last year, but apparently we have dipped down to a negative 10 on the scale the United States has. We are three away What, two away, from, actually, from what, being from the worst.
Zimbabwe?
India, they're a negative 13 on the scale of happiness. Turkey is next with a negative 10, and we are right there with negative 10 as well. So basically, we've tied Turkey. France, Italy, Japan, South Africa, Australia, Mexico, United Kingdom, they're all between negative four and negative 13. So they are miserable countries. Brazil, South Korea, Russia, China, Indonesia, and Germany, the happiest countries.
Get out of here, Russia. You ever see the Russians?
I kid you not.
Yeah, it could be Russians in Brighton Beach. It could be Russians on the South Shore of Staten Island.
Well, we're not
Island,
talking
the
about
Jersey
the Russians
Shore.
Here. We're talking about the Russians in Russia.
Yeah, but they have that bulldog face. They're always with a frown on their face.
Well, that doesn't mean that they're not happy.
I can't imagine they're happy other than if they're swimming in vodka.
Well, that could be. They're
like
a plus
Sturgeon.
Three. Russians are a plus three on the happiness scale. China's a plus seven. That just seems bizarre to me. Indonesia is a plus nine and Germany is a plus 13. I mean, you're talking about some of the biggest sourpuss faces, you know, around the world.
Yeah, but you see, in Red China, you are required to be happy or you end up having to sacrifice body parts or being sent to their gulag.
Well, according to this analysis, the reason that Russians are so happy is because they call it the Putin effect. They're saying that Putin is a positive on the culture there.
And so
even as oil prices and the ruble are collapsing, Putin,
we've slipped down in the miserable factor as a result of Trump being elected president. That's the only conclusion you can come to.
No. So the economy is
better than it's ever been before. Employment is up. Stock market is doing well. So I would think if people got coin in their pocket, they're going to be less miserable and happier.
I don't know. This could be because of many things.
Let's find
but Julie
out.
Ray, she's the writer and editor for Gallup. She says that America, we're upset. We're finding ourselves paying more for housing, which is completely true. Paying more for health care and education. And these are three of the things that are very, very important to us when it comes to our finances.
I think I would much prefer the housing here than the housing I've seen in Russia or the education I've seen in Russia.
Are
or
we just
especially
completely ungrateful
the health care that I've experienced in Russia. Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And just the fact that during the holiday season, so many people are miserable. They feel misery as opposed to being feeling nachis or joy or experiencing what this holiday is supposed to be about. Anyway, let's go to Lou first up in the queue, calling from the Big CI, Coney Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here.
Hello.
At WABC. Louie?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job. Too bad about Ron Kuby, but what could you do, Curtis? I was born and raised in Coney Island. As a matter of fact, I just left the Russian Vanya, the mermaid Russian Vanya, down on 37th Street in Seagate, and I've been going to the Banyas for about 25 years.
What is a Banya?
The Banyas, it means bath in Russian.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And what it is it's a number of steam rooms and saunas and ice plungers, but the one down here in Seagate is really great because
cool.
It's 2 blocks from the ocean. And we go and we swim, and then we come back and we go in. But the Russians are some of the happiest, nicest people I ever met in my life. And I just tuned in and I heard you talking about it. And
Curtis always says the negative things. I don't think he really means it.
Come on, Russians have the dog face of doom and gloom, Lou. Even when they're in the Schwitz, even when you're hitting them with all those leaves, right? They're still.
I got my Venick in the back.
Right? Am I right or wrong?
No, but they're real. And you know what's great about them? Especially the Russian women, and they're very, very comfortable in their skin. They don't care if they're 200, 300 pounds or bigger.
Well, I've seen that. You would be comfortable, too, if you could fill up your shopping cart with all kinds of meats and foodstuffs, and then whip out a knot of food stamps while you're wearing a fur coat as a Russian immigrant.
You know,
and everyone else is saying, where the hell are you getting those food stamps from?
Curtis, I'm not going to disagree with you, but it's not. I mean, you can't just say Russians are doing that.
No, I'm just saying, though. But they're the ones wearing the fur coats when they're doing it.
Well, I got to say, I
sorry to all my Russian friends out there.
Curtis, can I just mention one thing?
Yeah, I want to mention one thing to you, though. Now, there's this new film. There's this new film by Woody Allen called Wonder Wheel. It's being promoted
that man
a lot on television. Now, it's the only Woody Allen movie I would ever go to because I love The Wonder Wheel and Coney Island. I love it. Dino's Wonder Wheel. And it looks like the photography is amazing, the colors.
His films are beautiful. It's just he's a creep.
But his daughter, remember, Dylan Farrow says he perved her. Incest. She says anybody who goes to see his movies is supporting his pedophilic ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn here. I want to see this movie. I love Coney Island.
Is there a way that you can get a pirated copy of it so you're not actually paying for it?
Well, that's defeating the purpose, though. The point is she's saying it's a moral decision you have to make. And remember, I've never liked Woody Allen, his movies.
You don't want to support him by giving him money, but you want to support your interest in seeing this movie because you love The Wonder Wheel.
But it looks like a great movie. Anyway, let's go to Carter, who's calling from Mount Vernon. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here.
Get him,
at
Carter.
Carter.
Get him.
Hello. Once again, Curtis, I got to correct you again. I called you last time with the Manson thing, but I had to put some corrections to your Manson facts. Now, with Russia, you were saying that a lot of Russians are always happy, right? I actually lived in Russia for some time. I lived in Kazan in the Tatarstan Republic. So all my Russians, Kazala. They have holidays for everything. Every other week, there was a holiday.
Yeah, because they don't work. They're Goldbricks. They're slackers.
So if we had holidays like they had holidays, people would definitely be happy all the time. I mean, they even had cop day where all the cops could ride around drinking. I mean, actually, I witnessed the cops.
Got it. You lived there. You lived in Kazakhstan, right?
Kazan.
Yeah, I was in Kazakhstan, in Kazan.
Okay. Now, you're going to tell me, having had Russian food, all of it cold, none of it hot, it's like having cold cuts every day. It is the worst imaginable food you can have. No wonder
I can
why
think
they got
of
a
lot
sour
worse.
Puss on.
Hey, Curtis, I have actually, some of the best restaurants that I've ever seen in my life was in Russia.
There you go, Curtis. What do you have to say to that?
I don't know where in Russia you were going to. All the food I had
have
was
you ever
horrible.
Have you ever been to St. Petersburg, Carter?
I was supposed to go to St. Petersburg, but I missed out on that trip because I didn't catch up with the team.
I'm dying to go.
I've been to St. Petersburg.
Have you? I want to do one of those riverboat cruises.
Right above Tampa.
Not
on the shore.
No.
Not far from where Ponce de Leon's Fountain of Youth is.
I'm being made fun of because I've been on a riverboat cruise. By the way, it was Crystal Cruises. It was fantastic. So back off.
What, to St. Petersburg, Russia?
No, I went. It was the Danube. It was fantastic. I took my mom, and we had the best time. We were the ones that were closing the
Danube.
The bar.
It's horribly
every night.
Polluted. You
the Danube
didn't
was. It was absolutely wonderful. The trip was incredible. And riverboat cruises are highly underrated for younger people.
What are you promoting? Farmers family tours and cruises.
I would be happy to work for her. If she'd like me to, believe me.
My God.
I travel a lot.
The cruise queen there, right? What were you lined up for the buffet?
I love it. I love being on the water.
1-800-848-WABC.